Hey friends, thanks for joining me. It's time for the Dr. Mike Live Show. I'm pleased and blessed to welcome Ray Gano to the program today. We're going to be talking about spiritual oppression, spiritual possession, the demonic wars. Ray wrote a book, The Demonic Wars, Winning Our Lives Back and Regaining Ground. So the focus of our conversation today is going to be on that subject. And I know that it hits home with a lot of folks. There is a tremendous amount of spiritual warfare going on today. Now, there has been spiritual warfare for the entirety of human existence, in my opinion, and I think the Bible upholds that fact. However, I think as the day draws close to the return of the Lord, that is increasing, and it's increasing exponentially right before our eyes, and we see that in a number of different places. So before we get started, though, today, Jared, I'd like to mention all of those ministries that we encourage you to follow and to support. And we'll start with Coach Dave Live every Monday through Friday morning, 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. Great way to start your day. As I like to say, you don't need a cup of coffee. Just watch Coach's show, and you'll have enough energy to go for the rest of your day. Coach is putting on a conference in Canton, Ohio, in April, and you can get your tickets from Coach Dave Live's website. But the conference in Canton is the Occupy 2019 conference. There you go. You can get tickets there as well. And it is April the 12th, 13th, and 14th. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Canton, Ohio. And I'll probably sell out. So I wouldn't tarry too long in getting your tickets. A lot of fantastic speakers will be there. So from there, let's look at Alphabet Man Live. Jared, David Arthur has a show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. These are Eastern Standard Time. So Denny, you got to get up an hour earlier than everybody else, you rascal. So Alphabet Man Live, David Arthur, 9 to 9:30. And David's going to be speaking at a lot of different places. So I would encourage you to go to his website to the events and schedule. Look where David's at and support his ministry. And then you've got Ray Moore is Tuesdays, I believe, at 11 a.m. You can tune in to Ray Moore's show. He is fantastic on constitutional issues, freedom and liberty issues, homeschooling issues. There you go. Boots on the ground. All education is religious. A fantastic resource in that arena. So Ray Moore, Tuesdays at 11. And then we have, who's next, Jared? Who else we got? Oh, David Hefner. David Hefner, Mondays at 8 p.m. So you got an hour between this show and David Hefner's show, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, live, so you can join. And I think he's on Roku, too, isn't he, Jared? Yeah, I believe he is. And so that brings us then to the conference that we are hosting here in Lima in July, gothereforeconference.com. I would encourage you to go out to the website, gothereforeconference.com, register for that conference. Hotel information is there as well. When you do book your rooms, make sure that you mention you're part of the conference so that you can get the conference discount. A number of different speakers, too many to even name. Well, there you go. Thank you, Jared. Jamie Walden will be there. Chad Schaefer, John Haller, Ellie Marzulli, Mark Harrington, Thomas Dunn, Doug Woodward, Carl Gallups, David Arthur, Russ Dizdar, Coach Dave, of course, Mark Trump, David Paxton, and some guy named Mike Spaulding. So full speakers lineup. The tickets are $59. So I would go register sooner rather than later. And here is a brief video. Did you get the video, Jared? Okay, let's play that now. Okay. That's okay.
Hi friends, Pastor Mike Spaulding here to tell you about the Go Therefore 2019 conference. This year's gathering will be at the University of Northwest Ohio Event Center, July 26th and 27th. The conference will conclude Sunday, July 28th at Calvary Chapel of Lima. This is the largest gathering of acclaimed Bible teachers, researchers, and prophecy experts anywhere in the United States. Here's our speaker list. Russ Dizdar of Shatter the Darkness Ministries, Coach Dave Dobenmeyer of Pass the Salt Ministries, pastor and author Dr. Carl Gallups, researcher Carl Teichrib, publisher of the Wisconsin Christian News, Rob Pugh, author Douglas Woodward, prophecy expert John Haller, David Arthur of Alphabet Man Ministries, filmmaker Tom Dunn, researcher David Paxton, cybersecurity and artificial intelligence researcher Mark Trump, Created Equal founder Mark Harrington, the last evangelist filmmaker David Hevener, author, researcher, and lecturer L.A. Marzulli, author Chad Schaefer, British filmmaker Mark Sutherland, pastor and musician Leighton Howerton, former combat veteran and author Jamie Walden, and of course, me, Dr. Mike Spaulding. Tickets are only $59. You can secure your seat for the Go Therefore Conference at this website, gothereforeconference.com. This event will sell out quickly. Ticket and hotel information is at the conference website, gothereforeconference.com. Hope to see you there.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you, Jared. All right, folks. Spiritual warfare, spiritual oppression, spiritual possession. I've done a little writing on this subject, and one of the things that we need to understand today as Christians is that the enemy is pulling out all the stops. It's pulling out all the stops. Now, we see it manifested, especially obviously to me and to many others, we see it manifested in our politics. This violence and vitriol and division that has gripped America is not an accident. And let me say this, this may surprise some people. It's not a result of politics. We can talk about the R's and we can talk about the D's and we can talk about the things that divide us, but behind it, in my opinion, is spiritual entities. Spiritual warfare is happening and they're trying to destroy America. That's what's going on today. My guest, Ray Gano. Ray, thanks for joining me on the show today. Yep.
I can't hear Mike at all. I can hear you, but I can't hear Mike at all.
Let me do something here, Jared.
Did anybody else hear Mike? Because I didn't.
How about now? Can you hear me, Ray?
I was hearing Mike just fine.
Yeah.
I can hear you now.
I just heard Dennis.
I can hear you, Mike. And I can hear Steve.
Okay. Ray, you cannot hear me. Okay. While he's doing that, the odds that you have not been touched in some way, spiritually speaking, by what's going on today are very, very small. The reality that we live in. You with us, Ray?
I'm here. Yep. Now I can hear you, Mike.
Okay. Perfect. Perfect. Okay. Well, we're gonna jump into spiritual warfare and start talking about this, Ray. Most people experience it oppression. And I want to make a distinction here, oppression versus possession. And I want to say this right out of the gate, just so folks understand where I'm coming from theologically. Surprisingly, this statement needs to be made because there are a few folks, I've not run across a lot of them over my 35 years of walking with the Lord, but I have come across a couple. But let me say this right out of the gate, and I believe you agree with me, Ray. Christians, born again, blood-bought, spirit-filled Christians cannot be demon-possessed. They cannot be demon-possessed. Ray, totally what do you
agree.
Think?
Totally agree. Here's a real quick explanation. People, you can write this, write me in your hand. Now, say this is the hand of God. God has us in the hand of God. No matter what, we can't fall out. We can't be released. We can't be lost. And in fact, since this is permanent ink, this will, you know, basically be part of my skin now for the next 3-4 days. But this is what God is. Even though we may want to come out of God or leave God or something, we are now part of God and he is part of us. And so there is no room for the enemy. We are now basically God's property. God possesses us. So there is no where demons or anything can possess us. We are now God's possession. And then we are being bought with a high price, Christ's blood of Christ. But again, if I am in God's hand, me as myself, I even don't have the will to leave God's hand. Maybe people might want to or anything, but as a true born-again Christian, you don't even have the ability to leave God. We may backslide, we may sin, we may do all these other things, but we are still part of God, and God possesses us. And so that's, I guess, what is this the doctrine of, either the doctrine of eternal security or salvation, but we cannot, you know, no matter what, there's nothing we can do to leave God's hand. And, you know, since we are already possessed. Does that make sense?
Yeah. We're possessed by the Holy Spirit. Now, Ray, how do people, though, who are Christians, because this is a common testimony among many people that I've heard, how do people who are Christians allow spiritual entities, malevolent spiritual entities, demonic spiritual entities, unclean spirits, how do they allow them access to their life? Because they have to do something that opens up a portal or a door or something to allow that to happen. Could you talk to that?
There's a lot of ways that, and believe it or not, a lot of Christians are doing it unawares. One of the biggest ways they are being influenced is by television, movies, the internet. A lot of doors open up. But sex is probably one of the biggest tools that the enemy uses, and just any way that, because a lot of people that I've dealt with and everything have been dealing with sexual demons, and having visits in the night or having weird dreams or, you know, whatever. There's a lot, but they've opened up the door somehow. So it's usually through trauma or unawares, and then the occult itself, and or sex, drugs, alcohol, some sort of mind altering substance. But there's a number of ways. And then also another way that a lot of people don't know about is maybe through inherited items or items themselves. They may go to a garage sale and find some cute doll or find some sort of African mask or find some sort of something, you know, and they buy it and they bring it into their home and they don't know the history, but buy it. So maybe, you know, that the entity or the enemy comes in utilizing that. Teenager brings Playboy magazines into the home. Or dad brings Playboy magazines into the home. The enemy they play by pretty, you know, strict rules. You know, you have to be invited in, but they also split hairs and everything. So if someone said bring a Playboy magazine or an African mask or some, you know, whatever, but they see it as a doorway. And it's like, oh, wow, this guy has just invited me into this house. You know, so they are now have access to the house via the Playboy magazine or the little trinket doll that, you know, or some sort of ancestral hand-me-down, you know, and just happened to be that that ancestor from way back when was maybe some voodoo priestess or some witch or, you know, some satanic priest or, you know, something. But a lot of people don't know, you know, these things. Trauma is a big one. And a lot of kids are inflicted with trauma. You know, someone can either be in a car accident and be so traumatized. The enemy will use that. Sexual trauma, where the child or person has been sexually molested, raped, whatever. The enemy uses that. Because what the enemy does is it feeds off of our emotions. And so the more emotions on however they came in and started depressing the person, they want to continue those emotions. So that's what they're feeding on. And I call that garbage. So if you get rid of the garbage and start confessing sins and start, I've got a whole process that I have people, you know, utilize and things. But when they start getting rid of a lot of the garbage, a lot of the demons just leave too. And so it took you a lifetime to get demon oppressed or whatever, or attract these demons. So it's going to take a while to get rid of them. I do not believe in these, you know, weekend, you know, what is it? Cleansing sessions, or, you know, you'll see these weekend evangelists come in and, oh, we'll take care of your demons and, you know, 4 short hours, and that ain't going to happen. I mean, it might help with some, but you haven't cleaned the entire house. So yeah, it's a process, and it may take a year, years, but you've got to stay at it. And eventually you do become free. I do notice that when people utilize my methodology that I've written about, and because what I've done is a self-guided where, you know, because you're the one who let them in, you're going to have to be the one eventually to let them out. So it doesn't matter. I mean, some guy laying hands on you or pouring oil on you or whatever, yeah, that helps. But in the end, it's you. It isn't, yeah. You know, you're the one who has to take command and tell them to get the heck out of Dodge.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is something that I was talking about this morning with a group of men, Ray. It's been lost upon our nation, and especially men. And part of the problem, I think, if I can tie all these thoughts together I'm having right now, part of the issue that we have as Americans is that the scripture has been westernized. Yeah. The Bible has been westernized. Modernism as a philosophy has had a very negative impact upon the scripture, such that most Christians don't understand the supernatural realm, the reality of a supernatural realm. And because of that, they're very naive about the things that they allow in their homes, the things that they participate in. The eyes and the ears are gateways to the souls. Mm-hmm. Men especially have got to stand up and understand the assault that our families are under. There's a reason why the divorce rate is so high in America. There's a reason why we've now got a glimpse of all of the pedophilia and the sex trafficking and the drug abuse, overdose, and deaths. All of these things are manifestations of the demonic supernatural realm, and it's having an impact on our families. So as Reyes suggested, we need to stand up and take charge and take responsibility as men. Now, I'm not saying that women shouldn't. What I'm saying is, men, if you're a Christian man and you have a wife and a family, it is your responsibility to stand up and take charge of this and start cleaning house. Whatever's in your home that shouldn't be, and listen, I'll trust that the Holy Spirit that indwells you will reveal those things to you, what they are, and you need to get rid of them. I don't care what you paid for them. Whatever price you paid for those things that you now need to discard is a small price to pay to be free from the demonic oppression that your family is under. Ray, what do you think?
Totally agree. In fact, a lot of men just don't, or just people in general, do not understand. Let me back up. Men and, or husbands and wives, let's start there. A lot of husbands and wives don't realize how much authority they have and have been given, and the power that's within them. And especially the men, the husbands. Husbands do not understand the power and authority that they've been given. Demons cannot come into your home unless they're invited. And what you need to do is educate yourself as to how they come into your home. And then once you understand how they've come into your home, get rid of it or cleanse it somehow. You were talking about how so many Christians nowadays don't understand. We have tools that have been given to us that is spoken about in Scripture. And in my book, I give it. We have holy anointing oil that we use. We have holy water, which a lot of Baptists and everything, you're going Catholic. No, you read about it in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. Holy salt, holy incense. There are things that back in the 1800s, Baptist preachers knew. And in fact, you may have seen some of these movies with vampire killing kits. Well, those are taken off of what Baptist preachers used to carry. They used to carry, holy water, holy salt, holy anointing oil, incense and stuff, because it was their responsibility back then to go clean out the demons and everything. And they were hard charging guys. So they knew what this was, and so you went to your pastor back then. And what's happened is throughout the ages, or throughout these last final generations here, we've lost that knowledge. We've lost the ability. I mean, I've done research on some of these, and I hate to use the word exorcist because it's not, but it's predominantly Baptist pastors that were in the United States and England. That would, if you needed something done and you'd call your pastor and he'd come over and help, and the man of the house would work with the pastor and everything. But again, Christians were very educated back then as to what to do and what the demonic was and everything. And so we've lost that knowledge on how to fight, but we've lost the knowledge on how to even recognize, the stuff. We think a lot of times it's just bad luck, or we're just, this is the way life is supposed to be, so why not accept it? All this other stuff. And it isn't. A lot of us that are Christians are being demonically oppressed. And we just, we've now got all this garbage in our brain and everything. What we need to do is just get this garbage out, and you'll start seeing the oppression leave. And there's, they have hooks into us. And that's about as much as I can say, because they're not indwelling us or anything. They have their hooks in us, and you see those little cartoons of a little demon sitting on your shoulders and, hey, do this, hey, do that. Kind of that's what it's like when you're being oppressed. And I mean, you can feel it. I mean, but what's happened is that after a while, we start getting used to it, and we just think that this life is normal. And this is how life should be. It's like, no, there's freedom in Christ.
One of the things, Ray, that I find just absolutely astounding, no matter how many times I tell people this, I still get people that want to push back. People that are involved in, for instance, yoga, mm-hmm. or labyrinth walking, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. or centering or contemplative prayer.
Oh, yeah.
These kinds of activities really open people up mm-hmm. to demonic, if you're not born again, demonic possession. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll give you an example of it. Anybody who claims to be a channeler, I've been doing some research on Alice Bailey, for example, who, by the way, folks, I would encourage you to do some research on Alice Bailey, and you'll be shocked at the influence that Alice Bailey had, not just during her lifetime, but the repercussions of that we're experiencing today. Yeah. And so, but people continue to do that right now. It's frustrating because I tell people, well, you're deceived. Mm-hmm. You are deceived if you believe that these practices are harmless. I provide them with all of the data, even from Hindu gurus that say Americans don't understand what they're messing around with when they're starting to do yoga and starting to engage or ignite these chakras and the third eye and all of this stuff. And Christians just look at you like you're some kind of kook. What do you do with that, Ray?
I mean, there's not much really that you can do. You can educate them and try to talk to them and things, but the church has become so watered down today. As if you put Christian in front of anything, then it's okay. So because now we got Christian yoga, we have Christian labyrinth, we have Christian I just saw it the other day. But yeah, you just throw a Christian in front of them. So the New Age has totally infiltrated the church. And the New Age, we just need to call it, it's paganism. Paganism has infiltrated the church. And this is the way of the enemy. And he makes it look good and things. But after a while, you know, yoga starts affecting people. I mean, you have starts what's called the Kundalini effect. Mm-hmm. And what it is just basically a form of possession. And I mean, you'll be walking around and all of a sudden you'll jerk like that or whatever. That's the Kundalini effect. You've been practicing yoga and the enemy has infiltrated and taken possession and is affecting you. And, so you do weird things at times or, something that I've noticed and with a number of people, when someone comes to me and asks me to help them and everything, one of the things I do is I look at their Facebook account and I start trolling through their pictures. And a number of people, I can spot snake slits in their eyes. And people don't, at first they don't see it, but then when I show it to you, I blow it up in Photoshop and everything. And I go, look at this. These are snake slits. I says, the enemy, and this is something too, and this is why when I go do through someone's Facebook page, the enemy loves selfies. They love to let the world know they're there. And so a lot of times they'll have a person taking a selfie will have this evil look, or the person taking a selfie will have slitted eyes, or there's just, I can look at pictures and I just know I see something there. At times I can't, but I just know there's something there. You see the evil in them.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I've seen pictures where, a woman looks like a man or a man looks like a woman. They're not shape-shifting, but in a sense they are. But it's strange when you see when demons are truly affecting people. And these are Christians. These are, because I won't work with anybody who's not a Christian and has admitted Jesus Christ as their personal savior, accepted Christ and so forth, because truly you cannot be free of the demonic if you're not a Christian. If you're non-Christian or you don't have Christ living in your heart, then, you are full blown possessed unless you come to the point where you allow Christ to come into your heart and allow Christ through the Holy Spirit to possess your life then.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a great point, Ray. If you're listening out there on any of the social media platforms, I want to make sure that you understand clearly what Ray just said. If you're possessed or oppressed demonically and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're going to remain in that bondage. Yeah. They've got no reason. There's no leverage against them that's going to free you from that. So you're stuck. The only thing you can do is cry out for salvation, forgiveness of the Lord. And guess what? He will do that. He will deliver you from that if you'll cry out. So that's the first step. Now, we're going to take some questions, Kathy. If there are any questions out there,
real quick,
for Ray.
The verse for that is Joel 2:32. Cry out to the Lord and he'll deliver you. That's Ray paraphrased.
Amen. So, Kathy, I'll let you look for those questions if they're out there. And anybody that's in the huddle, if you have a question, get ready to ask it. But in the meantime, just before that, what I want to do is the scripture is full of admonitions to be on the alert, to watch out, to understand that the enemy is seeking to destroy you as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm just going to share a couple of those, and then we'll go to the questions since we're at the bottom of the hour. James 4:7, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil and he will flee you. We wouldn't be given that exhortation to resist him if he didn't come against us. Amen. 1 John 4:4, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than what? He who is in the world. So there is a force in the world that is lining up against you. Then 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. For though we live in a world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And I could go on and on. I've got 3 pages here of scripture that talks about spiritual warfare. But I know there are questions. So anybody in the huddle, let's start there. Anyone in the huddle that has a question they would like to ask or an experience they want to share that Ray or I can answer. You have to unmute yourself. I'll go to Kathy. Kathy, anything online? Any questions?
Well, there are several. I'm seeing on the objective is saying, what is the biggest mistake Christians make when dealing with spiritual battle that Ray is speaking about?
Okay. Yeah. All right. On the objective, hey, Stephen, how you doing, bud? What's the biggest mistake Christians make when dealing with the spiritual battle? Probably the biggest mistake is that they're ignoring it. They push it off. Oh, that can't be demons, or it can't be that, or it can't be. They make excuses for it. And partially that's because we haven't been trained. Pastors haven't been teaching about this for, 50 plus years. And so we don't know what we're facing. So we tend to make excuses, make stories, you know, accept it. And it's just because we're uneducated. You know, Hosea talks about, now that verse just popped out of my head. But people, biggest mistake is they think it's a joke. They think it's a fairy tale. They don't accept what it is. Because these past 50 years, that's all they've been taught is that, oh, demons don't exist. Satan's a good guy. And in fact, look at, there's a TV show out there, Lucifer. And Lucifer is now just a bartender who goes around helping his police buddy solve crime, you know. So they've really made, you know, Satan and his minions look like just, you know, they're our buddies and all that other stuff to the point of fairy tales. And so Christians nowadays, they think it's fairy tales. And again, a good majority of churches don't even talk about this.
Yeah. Kathy?
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. All right. I have Brother George on Facebook is asking you to discuss tattoos. For those of us who have them, regretfully gotten them, is there a demonic attachment to them?
Is there a demonic attachment to tattoos? I haven't, I mean, it's a sin. God talks about it in Leviticus, don't pierce your bodies and put, you know, pagan symbols on you and everything. I think that if by having them on you, you can repent of it, but you're marked for life unless you have them taken off. Now, could they be a doorway? I don't know. Depends on what sort of tattoos you got and everything. But I think if you would earnestly work to be delivered of whatever might be oppressing you and everything, that you could see deliverance. And again, pay to have them take them off. You know, it's probably more expensive to do it. I mean, they now have, I'm seeing at home tattoo removals, and you can get them there. It's for a couple $100. You can buy these pins that shoot the laser lights on, and you can start removing your tattoo itself. But it's a long process, and it hurts, you know, worse than getting the tattoo itself.
Wow. I have Ashley on Facebook. She said, I've come across some seemingly born-again Christians, yet they hear audible demonic voices. Mm-hmm. How is this possible? Is this demonization, perhaps?
Oh, yeah, very much so. This is oppression, demonization. This is, yeah, the enemy totally works this way. A number of people that I've worked with have clearly heard voices, had visits, some demons even performing sex on them. I mean, this is very, you know, this is real. And see, that's the kind of question that people kind of ask, because they may not believe in it. But yeah, Christians are affected greatly because the enemy wants to take us out. You know, for the heathen or the unchristian, you know, the demons are already there. So that's a cakewalk for them. Their job is to bring us down, weaken us, and take us out of the game. And so that's what they're doing. So they're, Christians are being hammered like crazy, mm-hmm. versus the unbeliever, you know. Now, again, unbelievers are demonically oppressed, possessed, and so forth. But, you know, they're living with it. And since they're of the world, and or they're not Christians, or they're heathen, to them, it may be okay. I mean, look at how many, there's this woman I was watching on the news the other day who gladly allows spirits to have sex with her. And she likes it. And so that's becoming a growing fad. In fact, there's websites dedicated on how to invite these demons and basically marry up with them, incubus and succubus, and allow them to, you know, take possession of you and have sex with you and everything, to the point that you then become addicted to this entity. And then this entity will eventually suck the life out of you. And in the end, this is what people don't realize. When you're playing with the demons and allowing these influences to be taking place and everything, at first they sound pretty cool, or might be fun, or it might be pleasurable, or whatever. But the final end game of that demon is to see you in hell and to see you kill yourself or see you die. And so they want to see you in hell. And so they're going to do anything they can to schmooze you, to do whatever and everything. But their end game is to see you die. And 9 times out of 10, people who are oppressed this way eventually kill themselves. They commit suicide. And they're driven to insanity, to the point where they don't see any escape. And so their only escape is to kill themselves. And so then the mm-hmm. demon wins.
Yeah. Wow.
Pastor Mike?
Yes.
Yeah, I've had so many questions, but the one I've been worried about most of my life is, at one point my mom told me I was named by a Ouija board.
Hmm.
I know it was a party game at a bridal shower, but should I be worried about that?
You know what, Darren? I was just getting ready. I mean, that is, that's the Holy Spirit right there. I was just getting ready to ask Ray this question, and here it is. What influence can our family members have on us? We may be completely innocent. We've not opened any doors or portals that we're aware of. We haven't done anything. However, maybe our dad was involved in, and let's use this example. Our parents played around with a Ouija board and thought it was harmless. Mm-hmm. Can that impact us in our lives?
It can. One of the biggest ways, I mean, yes, Ouija board and everything, it can. But one of the biggest ways that I've seen parents or family influence and cause demon oppression and such is through basically raping the child, sexual abuse. And this is traumatic. This is sexual traumatic when a family member or something basically rapes and sexually abuses a child, and it just isn't it's not one time. Usually it's years. And so this sexually abuse will open doors big time, and or maybe the parents are involved in the occult or paganism and stuff, and they'll offer their child to the gods, or take them through some sort of pagan, occultic, Wiccan ceremonies at a young age or something. There's pictures of Anton LaVey baptizing his daughter at a young age on the satanic altar. And so did she have the will or free will or anything to say anything? No, she didn't. She was a young kid, but he did it anyways. So there's a lot of ways where parents can and do have influence. And we just, we didn't have any say over it. So, but yeah, that's another way that people become oppressed, depressed, and have demons invited, brought into their lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
Audrey
has a question. If someone is doing warfare against oppression for a long time and it's not being defeated, what would be some things that are hindering it?
And that's actually a great question, Audrey. What in my book, and I know you've got my book, I talk about journaling or writing down your every sin that you have ever committed. Because what you need to do is go back into past somewhere along the line, you attracted a demon. And so by taking some of the tests or self-analysis that I have in my book, it'll help you identify things. And so this is why, getting free of demonic oppression is a process. And there's times in your journal that it'll pop into your mind all of a sudden. Oh, wow, man, that happened. And you may have forgotten, or may have mentally blocked it out. But what you need to do is you need to write it down in your journal, pray over it, anoint yourself, and then command the enemy to get out. Because if you've been praying to get this oppression out, odds are you haven't identified what the oppressive spirit is. And so we have the authority. And when we finally tell the oppressive spirit to get the heck out of Dodge in the name of Jesus, it has to obey.
Yes.
And so what has not happened then is you have not identified the oppressive spirit. Go in my book and take the self-analysis, both of them. I have one of what's happened in your past, and then I have one of, what demonic spirit or something do you think you have, or do you give these traits or something, so that you kind of understand what demon may be afflicting you.
Yeah.
But then once you understand that, and you understand maybe then the sin in your life that you did or committed and everything, you can then ask forgiveness of that sin, and then command the enemy to get out of you, because they no longer have authority over you. See, they think they have authority over you because you have not renounced the sin. You haven't sought forgiveness, you haven't renounced it, and then you have not told the enemy to get the heck out of Dodge. It no longer has its chains on you. So you've broken those chains. So check that. Read my self-analysis, and that will really help you identify maybe what that is. And then ask God to help reveal these sins. Because the enemy is there for a reason, and it's feeding off of you emotionally somehow. And so until you identify these things, until you identify the garbage, you're not going to be able to get rid of it because you don't know what it is. So does that make sense?
Yep. Yep. Denny, did you try to jump in there?
May I ask? I have a statement and a question, if I may, real quick. I have found in my experience on all this, and I realize that demons manifest in many ways, mm-hmm. but one of the easiest manifestations is pathological liars. They just, mm-hmm. just seem that they just can't tell the truth, even if they mm-hmm. tried. They just can't tell the truth, And so you call them a pathological liar, and they're very annoying, and they lie when it's not even necessary. my question is on that is when you know you're confronted with a demon in someone and they don't want to be, they aren't asking for it to be cast out. As a Christian, do you recommend backing off? You know,
oh, yeah.
You wait until they want it. You know what I mean? You just let it, you let it lay.
Yeah, no. And this is something that does upset me, because there's a lot of these people that go around casting out demons and all this other stuff. Yep. You are actually causing more damage than good, because you may cast out the demon. But what does Christ say? When the house is clean, the demon goes out into the dry places. And then one day he wakes up and goes, huh, I wonder how my house is. He'll go back. Oh, wow, it's clean. It's ready. I'm going to move back in. And he's going to invite seven other demons. So us going willy-nilly around, you know, casting out demons and everything like that, where we could possibly be causing greater damage. Deliverance is for the desperate. And until you get desperate where you want deliverance, then messing around with people like that, it's you're causing them more harm. They need to come. What you need to do is you need to pray with them, pray for them, and ask the Lord to work in their hearts so they get to that point of desperateness. And then once they're at that desperate point, then you can start working with them, because they want it. And again, it isn't us who put the demons in them. It's them who put the demons in them. And so they need to take responsibility for that and command the enemy out. And again, in my book, I tell people, I show people how to do this and what to do. And I mean, I have a whole basically ceremony where even you self-baptize. And every night, for example, when I tell someone, because a lot of the people I work with, they're being attacked at night. And so you need to go into spiritual battle mode. And so every night I have my people go take a bath or take a shower. And I tell them what you're doing is you're basically self-baptizing yourself. You pray, you praise the Lord, you ask him for your protection. And what you're doing is as you're washing away your dirt, you're washing away your sins. You're self-baptizing. When you get out of the bath, I then recommend to anoint yourself in holy oil. And, you know, anoint your head. If you are suffering some sexual demons, then anoint the areas of your body that the demon is trying to access or does have access to. And then just anoint whatever God tells you to anoint, but anoint. And then, but another thing too, I give recipes on how to make your own anointing oil. You can go down to the church Bible bookstore and everything and buy anointing oil. It's okay. But there's more power in oil that you create yourself, because you're pouring your faith into this oil. And again, I in my book, I teach you how to do this and everything. And this is all, again, all of this is scriptural. And for some reason, we as Christians have just gone over it, or we think it's wrong because it's Catholic stuff or whatever. But it's there in the Bible, right there, plain black and white. And, you know, David washed and anointed. Solomon washed and anointed. I mean, I give references to everything that I'm saying here. There's scriptural reference. There's precedence there. But I have my people, you know, self-baptize, self-anoint, and then go into a time of reflection and get out your journal and start journaling and see what God brings to you. And then also what you do is work on one sin at a night, one at a time. And so say you stole cookies from your mom when you were 5 years old, and it's down in your journal. Well, tonight we're going to ask forgiveness of this. We're going to just forgiveness. We're going to renounce, and then we're going to rebuke. And then get the enemy, break the chains and rebuke the enemy and get them out of us. And so then you cross off that sin. And this is why journaling and keeping notes is very important. And so that you know what sins, because God is going to bring sins to your mind that you've forgotten and everything. But it's again, it's a process. But once you start working through the process and you start doing this, a lot of the people that I've worked with within 2 weeks, they're feeling so much more better, but they're not done. And I remind them, I was like, listen, you are not done yet. So keep going and keep journaling, keep doing this. And eventually you'll get there. but because what's happening is you're getting the easy demons out first, but the harder ones that are more drilled deeper down and everything, you got to kind of work to get them out. And they're like peeling the layers of an onion away. You get the minor demons out and you get these other demons out. And because there's a demon hierarchy. And so if you've got a major demon in you, he's got maybe 1,000 little minions that, and again, that's a hierarchy. So it's peeling the onion back and you've got to wait, finally get to him. But when you finally get to him and realize the sin that is associated to him and how he is, he has his claws into you, you can then, you know, ask forgiveness, you know, bind, rebuke, and get him the heck out of Dodge. So I hope that makes sense.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
What do you think about theophic prayer ministry? And then the second question is, what about generational sin?
Mm-hmm. Theophic prayer, I mean, like theosophic, sorry, theophic. I don't know, but right off the you saying that, I don't like it. It sounds like it's theosophical, or you know, that's what Alice Bailey created. So theophic, you know, I don't know it. I don't, but you know, I just don't. Like I said, there's something that rubs me wrong when just thinking it. Now I might be wrong, but I'm kind of maybe associating Alice Bailey and the Theosophical Society to maybe something like that. That's a new age thing that has been penetrating into church. A lot of theosophic ideas are penetrating the church. So again, I don't know. And what was the second question?
What about generational sin? Or generational sin, yeah.
Generational curses, generational sin. There is. I really don't see generational sin. The sins of the father, I don't see being passed down. But what does happen is that the demons can be passed down. So a sexual demon that might be from the grandfather, who then passed it to the father because he sexually abused him when he was young. And then that father then passes the demon on to the person because they sexually abused them. And so I can see demons being passed, but sins, we control our sins. We are the ones who are accountable for our sins. So we can't blame, you know, for the sin. Can we blame the ancestor for the demons? Yes, we can. But I can't see it blaming an ancestor for the sins we're committed. We need to take responsibility for our own sins. Again, makes sense?
Yeah. Yep. Any others, Jared?
Mike, do you want to ask Larry's question?
Yeah. Larry, do you want to ask your question? Want me to ask it?
I can do it. It's not a problem.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. Do you consider manic depressive illness and or schizophrenia demonic? I think it is or can be. What do you say?
I do. I agree with you because they're now, and now flip this too, because a lot of people also multiple personality disorder. Mm-hmm. Yep. A lot of people would think that's schizophrenia. Did or multiple personality disorders is a real thing. And a lot of people who go in and say, oh man, we need to cleanse this person. No, most likely this is a way, this is a means to combat the threat or combat the trauma that they were involved in is having a multiple personality disorder. That's not demonic. Where I can see schizophrenia and what was the other one you mentioned?
Manic depressive illness.
Yeah, definitely. As oppression or influence by the demonic. Now, there are probably cases where the person truly is chemically imbalanced and they're crazier than a nutcase. But I do think that a lot of that is due to very strong demonic oppression. Now, how a lot of these people, though, on the flip side, too, I don't know of any schizophrenics or anything who are born again Christians.
I don't know any psychiatrists that are either.
So, um, So I, you know, I, this prop, you know, is it truly possession? It could be, or oppression, but yeah. I just, I don't agree that it's some psychological thing, but again, deliverance is for the desperate. The person who is the schizophrenic at that time has to truly want deliverance. Otherwise they're married to their demons and they're happier. You know, I've known people that have gone back to their demons because they're more comfortable living with their demons than living without them. And they've been living with their demons for so long, the demons have now become part of their life. And so it's a choice. Yeah, it is. So it's strange how this works or how it affects people. And, you know, and yeah, there's some people who choose to go back to the demons.
Any other questions? Kathy, any others you've found?
I had a question.
Yes, go ahead.
What about, I guess, you know, discerning between, you know, possible spiritual gifts and demonic oppression, and, or I guess if you have a gift, you know, is that something that you have to deal with, possibly being oppressed? And also, sorry if I can throw in one more question about people who are born with an anxiety, what that might be.
Answer your second one first. Born with an anxiety, be not anxious. I mean, Christ tells us that. Anxiety is the enemy working on you. And so if you were born with that, somehow the parent probably passed it on to you. And so what you need to do is take charge, identify the anxiety or the sin associated to the anxiety and start dealing with it and start getting rid of the garbage. Again, get my book and you'll understand how to do all this process. And then what was the first question?
About, you know, spiritual gifts, if you know, discerning between a potential spiritual gift versus demonic oppression, or if you have a spiritual gift, is it possible to bring on heightened oppression?
It depends. I mean, how active are you? And are you out there on the battlefield? Now, again, what is this? I mean, we're all targets, but when you're out there on the battlefield and doing battle, you become a bigger target. That's just the enemy working at you. I mean, I get hammered all the time. And, you know, stuff happens to me all the time and everything because I'm a player on the field and the enemy doesn't like me being there. So, you know, if you're out there on the field doing stuff, then yeah, the enemy's going to hit harder because that's he wants you out of the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ray, the book is The Demonic Wars, Winning Our Lives Back and Regaining Ground. Is that available on your website?
It's available on Amazon. I mean, I had some copies still, but if you buy it from me, it's going to be more expensive because I got to ship, give it to you in shipping and handling and all that. So go to Amazon and get it. You'll get it faster too. So you can get it from Amazon Prime, but I highly encourage anybody who thinks that they have something going on, get the book and do some self-analysis. I've the self-analysis is pretty in-depth, and I get some, you know, the questions are pretty hardcore. So you've got to be honest with yourself and, you know, but yeah, you can get it there.
All right. Ray, thanks for joining me today. That was a very fast hour. We're going to have to do this again at your convenience. Folks, thanks for your questions. Thanks for watching. And remember, renewing our minds is not an option. See you next Monday.